When your brother or your sister does something you don't like, something that maybe hurts you, something that bothers you, how do you feel? Well, maybe not how do you feel, but how do you look? Do you look like this? Or maybe you look like this? You're angry, don't you? They took something that's yours and they shouldn't. They said something that was mean and you didn't like it. Or, and maybe this is the worst of them, they didn't do what you wanted them to do. So you're angry. You're angry. That's often how we feel. We get angry. That anger that you feel may lead you to steal. You're angry, so you take. Maybe you're angry they do something and you don't like it. And they won't stop doing it, so you stop them! And you hit them. You hit them. Well, I can tell some of you are laughing. And some of you aren't. It's very real, isn't it? Those things are all of the sixth commandment. When it says, thou shalt not kill, we'll see that means you shouldn't be angry without a reason and you shouldn't sin in your anger. Because the very same anger that leads you to get upset because you didn't do what you wanted him to do is the very same anger that led Cain to kill Abel. He was angry, so he was jealous. He was angry, so he coveted. All those feelings swirling together. Now, last time when we considered the sixth commandment, we considered the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, has its foundation in the fact that people, men and women, boys and girls, were made in the image of God. And that's why we need to protect human life, and that's why we need to justly administer the death penalty, because the penalty for taking the image of God is to have the image of God taken. That was the foundation of the sixth commandment, and we saw the clear connection between the authority of God, like the fifth commandment, and the fact that God has all the authority, whether we consider it in the home, in the church, or in the state. And so because we are called to bear his image, we need to live and act rightly as his representatives under his authority. And he is zealous for his image. That was the foundation of the sixth commandment. But this is, you might say, the heart, the center of the sixth commandment. And that is that we do not be idolatrous with our anger. Or to put it in other words, we need to be angry when God is angry. We need to be angry about what God is angry about. And when we get angry because I don't like it, that's because we put ourselves in the place of God. We decided we would be the ones to decide what is worth being angry about. It's very important that we learn by the grace of God to examine our hearts, that we would not kill out of an idolatrous anger that focuses on ourselves. Notice how the Lord Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 5. He said in verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, going back again to the sixth commandment. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And if you were found guilty of murdering someone, what was the punishment again? In light of the fact we were made in God's image, and that was the foundation of the sixth commandment, it was to be put to death. In danger of the judgment. He says, but I say unto you, and here what he is doing is he is taking what the Holy Spirit gave Moses to say. And he, as the image of God, and he, as the Word of God, like we heard this morning, is explaining what is behind that, the meaning and depth of it, which we all too often brush away. Behind murder is anger. He says in verse 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Shall be in danger of the judgment. The context of the sixth commandment for us as we consider it as idolatrous is in Christ's understanding of the law, not just Moses's. Not saying they were different, but the Lord Jesus makes it clear to the Jews of his day and to us what's all implied in the commandment. Because remember, we're all too often quick to study the best way to break the rules, aren't we? What can I get away with? If I just bend the truth, that's not the same as lying, is it? If I just look at the magazine and go to the websites and imagine in my mind and heart, is that the same thing as committing adultery? Sad to say, I know plenty of Jewish people in some of their writings where they say, there's no problem with lust. Lust isn't a sin. It's only adultery. Now that would make a tremendous difference then between a follower of the Lord Jesus and somebody who would just claim to follow Moses. So here, there's no room for being angry without a good reason or a God-centered reason. There's no place for idolatrous anger as long as you don't hit somebody or don't kill somebody. Our Lord Jesus makes it very clear. He is thinking of this in the context of the law Moses gave. He says in verse 17, because he knows people are going to think he's changing things. In fact, that was one of the accusations often made against him, that he didn't follow Moses. But he says in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 5, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He's saying, I'm not going to take away the law. Not until the fullness of the time comes. And then he makes it even more clear. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And now he takes it even a step further, thirdly. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And really, the scribes and Pharisees ultimately had no righteousness at all, did they? They were whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. They looked righteous. They sounded righteous because on the outside, they seemed to keep all the commandments. But those things the Lord Jesus is drawing out about anger, about lust, and other things, those are the things that lead to the breaking of the commandment and already are in principle. That's why anger without a righteous cause, anger that isn't God's anger, so to speak, is a breaking of the sixth commandment. But it's important to notice, as we consider contextually what the Lord Jesus is talking about, that he's faithfully interpreting the law, but that he's also not outlawing all anger. Some of you may be using Bible versions where the Lord Jesus simply seems to condemn anger. The wording may be something similar to, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment." And there are indeed some Greek manuscripts that say that, but we would believe the best of them would read rightly, that who is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger. The question is not one of anger, but the question is one of anger without a cause. That's what the text means. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Where we find what would seem to be the opposite of that wrong understanding of this commandment. If it says, "You may not be angry with your brother," how do you understand Ephesians 4, 26? "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We must be very careful. There is nothing wrong with being angry. And there is a whole lot we should be angry about. As we'll consider it a bit further later, but just by way of illustration, we should be angry about our own sin because we are not representing the Lord Jesus the way we should if we are born again Christians. We should be angry. We should be angry at the sins of our nation, which we partake of as being members of that nation. Not being angry at individuals, but anger at our own faithlessness, our own godlessness. When we see injustice in this world, people doing wrong, treating people wrong, people thinking wrong and acting wrong, we should be angry about it. Not because we don't like it. Not because it's different than the way we want things to be. But because it's different than what God has said. You might say, put it this way. When people don't follow God's laws and God's direction about how God's world should be run, we should be angry, righteously angry, but never sinning in so. Never sinning in so. But it's a very important distinction. There are people who will counsel other Christians. I've even heard office bearers try and give talks about, you should never be angry. Never a time you should be angry. Husbands should never be angry. Wives should never be angry. Children should never be angry. And if you want to have a good marriage, you have to get rid of all anger. That's not true. That's not true. There are things you should be angry about. There are things to get angry about. But all too often, like I told you, boys and girls, when I did those funny faces, we get angry about things that aren't about God, but about us. In a marriage, if a husband gets angry about something his wife does because he doesn't like it, rather than because it's against God's word, that's wrong. When a wife gets angry at her husband, not because the husband is doing something against God's word, but because she doesn't like it, that's wrong. Boys and girls, when you get angry at your parents because they are doing what the Lord would have them do, and how they may reprimand you, and how they may discipline you, you should not be angry. Because you are not just rebelling against your parents, you're rebelling against God. Rather, we need to be angry about the right things. The things the Lord would have us be angry about. We'll talk more about that later. But having noted the context of this commandment, let us look at it now personally. We've seen how the Lord Jesus thinks of it. We could say as idolatrous anger. But what's it like for us personally? And this is where we deal with further implications of what we've already seen. And we could particularly consider two things. Why we are usually angry. And secondly, why we should be angry. Well, why are you and I usually angry? Why are we usually angry? Well, we don't like something. Or as some parenting books have put it, and maybe your mom and dad have put it, our will is crossed. We can't have what we want. And we are entitled to what we want. We get angry when we don't have it. Or to put it another way, when in our pride, instead of saying, I'm going to do things God's way, I'm going to do it my way. Well, boys and girls, I've given you the example of all of us when we were children. We wanted our way. Maybe you're 7 or 8, maybe 5 or 6, and you see your brother or sister who's 1 or 2 years old. They get very angry, don't they? When they don't get what they want, they scream, they kick. Some children, though, they should never do even bite, because they have to learn that they may not live their way. They cannot have their way. And that's why it's the job of the parents to discipline them. to teach them not just that they need to do things the parents' way. God forbid that. You can't just end in, you need to do it my way because I'm your parent. That violates the fifth commandment, doesn't it? You need to do it this way because this is how God would have you do it. But there's not just the example of children. We might say there's also the example of the devil. One of the contemporary conservative news commentators in his news talk entertainment show likes to call anger the devil's cocaine. The devil's cocaine. He all too often, this political commentator, seems to think of all anger as wrong rather than anger without a cause or sinning in your anger. But why does he call it the devil's cocaine? Because where does that anger come from? Well, it came from pride. It came from me not getting what I wanted. Where does that problem come from? That problem goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Do you remember the trees in the Garden of Eden? There were two. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One person put it this way. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was like the tree of who gets to make the rules. Who gets to decide what's right and wrong? Well, the answer is God always gets to decide what's right and wrong. He's God. God makes the rules. He's the creator. We're the creatures. He makes the law. But Eve was deceived. And Adam rebelled because the devil said, you can make the rules yourself. You don't have to listen to God. You can be God for yourself. You can follow your own rules. That's where that comes from. And when we don't get our way, we get angry. Rather than saying, when we don't do it God's way, or when other people don't do it God's way, we should be angry. Instead of having a just anger, a righteous anger, a faithful anger, we have a satanic anger, a selfish anger, an idolatrous anger. That's where that pride comes. And when we are crossed, we become angry because we are entitled, because we make the rules, because I don't like it. That's where the anger comes from. Our sinful hearts flowing all the way back to the same sin in the garden where we would be our own God. But there's another reason that radio commentator calls it the devil's cocaine. You know why? Anger can feel good, doesn't it? Sinful anger, certainly. It feels good. You feel strong when you're angry, don't you? You may have heard of the Incredible Hulk from Marvel Comics. They change the stories here and there, but later on, when does the Hulk get very, very strong? And when does he keep getting stronger? The angrier he gets. When we get angry, we feel empowered. Not only physically, because maybe the adrenaline will kick in, but we feel self-righteous. I am right. I am good. I am strong. I will do it. I will have what I want. And just as we believed, or rather just as rebelled against God, Eve being deceived by the lie of the serpent, we decided we would make our own rules. And when our will is checked, and we see we can do something, we can get someone, we can vindicate ourselves, all too often it feels good. And that is very sad. That's why they call it the devil's cocaine. That's why we're usually angry. Because we put ourselves in God's place. Because sadly, all too often, we think it feels good. But why should we, secondly, be angry? Why should we be angry? Turn with me to Psalm 139, where we find not the word anger, but a word very closely related to it. especially when we consider all the accompanying feelings of anger, the way the Heidelberg Catechism did. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 40, gave a very beautiful answer when it comes to keeping the sixth commandment, as it ties together all the things that end up being motive for murder. And they all go back to that idolatrous pride that's checked, and it accompanies anger. It says in question and answer 105 that neither in thoughts nor words nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor by myself or another, but that I lay aside all desire for revenge, and that I hurt not myself nor willfully expose myself to danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. And then it goes further in question 106, or in answer 106. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, envy, hatred, anger, and the desire of revenge, and accounts all these as murder. But just as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 told us to be angry and sin not, so we find Psalm 139 recommending to us hatred as something that is to be commended. In Psalm 139, we read verse 21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? Notice it says, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. It's a lot like what we saw in Revelation chapter 19, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, victorious, standing upon his steed, and there he is to bring vengeance on those who would disobey him, those who would reject him, those who, like the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, would oppose him. We read in the book of Revelation previously, God's people cried out for vengeance. We read in Revelation chapter 18 and Revelation chapter 19, when God comes and brings judgment on wicked Babylon, what is the response? Yay! Yay! Praise God! They're happy about it. That's not wrong. That is absolutely right. So the language here of Psalm 139, we ought to be angry and sin not. In fact, we ought to positively hate. But hate what? Hate people and hate things when I can't have my way? No. We should never be angry or hate when it's about me, but only when it is about God and the things of God, and only about me insofar as I am included with those things of God. So it's never just about me, but it's always about him. But notice also what it says as it follows, just after he gets done speaking about this perfect hatred. And these words conclude the whole psalm, but very fittingly, as this psalm builds to this conclusion, after he gets done talking about hating them with perfect hatred, what does he say? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is what we ought to do when we start to feel angry. Boys and girls, next time you want to hit your brother or your sister, the next time you're mad because something didn't go your way, think of these words. Search me, O God. God, search how I think. God, search how I feel. See if it's right, as the words continue. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Or test me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. See if I'm doing, acting, feeling sinfully, something I shouldn't, if in my anger I would sin, or be angry without a very good reason. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Don't let me be angry about things I shouldn't be angry about. Don't let me be angry in ways I shouldn't be. And seeing these things contextually and personally, we come to these things quite practically then, don't we? When, shall I say, grown-ups, men, women, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, practically, what ought we to do then when it comes to this commandment? We know the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. We know that commandment has its foundation in God's image. And because God's image is the most valuable thing, and God's image is that expression of authority he's given. So then we must be very careful about the fact we are angry. Because like we saw in the context, God hasn't changed his law. The Lord Jesus here is just showing more behind it and what leads to it. Personally, we saw we are all too often angry out of pride and idolatry. And we should be very careful when we're angry. But we should still be angry. But about those right things, like Psalm 139 said. But practically now, how do you know if your anger is right anger? How do you know if your anger is sinful anger? Three things to consider. Three things to consider in light of how our Lord Jesus is explaining this commandment to us. The first is be aware of how you feel. Be aware of how you feel. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that sounds foolish. Everybody knows how they feel. No, they don't. You don't always know how you feel. I came home from school once, and we were home for school for a few hours before my mom came home from work. And when my mom came home from work, I'd give her a few minutes, let her do what she needed to do, and then I wanted to talk to her. Because believe it or not, I'm a person that likes to talk. So I would talk to my mom, and all of a sudden I was talking to her about what happened and what that day was like. And I started not only walking around, but I started being louder. And I didn't even know I was being louder. And then I was being angry, and I didn't realize I was being as angry. And my mom looked at me and said, "Have you had anything to eat?" And I said, "No." It's what some people call hangry. I was angry and I didn't know it. And I was angry not only because of things that happened the day, but I was angry because I was hungry. Now, thankfully, I wasn't angry at my mother. But have you ever been angry or been by someone who is angry? Even when they're not angry at you, it can be kind of scary because they're angry. That's not the kind of thing I should have done to my mother after she came home from a day of work. I wasn't paying attention to how I felt. And we need to be aware of how we feel. To be able to know if how you feel is wrong or right, you need to first know how you feel. And that's important too. You need to first know how you feel if you're going to be able to evaluate how you shouldn't feel that way or not. I've talked to many people in counseling situations, and just to talk to them about how they feel, they say, "But I shouldn't feel that way." It's like, yeah, but is that how you feel? And why do you feel that way? It might be wrong, but don't just suppress it. Don't just sweep it away. Don't just ignore it. Understand how you feel, and then why? How you feel and why? Be aware of your feelings. That's the first thing. The second is prayerfully consider why you feel the way you do. Prayerfully consider why you feel the way you do. Because it's very tempting when you're angry. But notice it's not just anger. When you're depressed, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're any feeling, it can be very tempting just to take action based on how you feel. And we never take action based on how we feel. We take action because of God's word, not because of how we feel. We do not take action based on how we feel. We take action based on what God says. Isn't that the way it works in your home, boys and girls? You need to ask permission before you can read certain books, before you can go certain places, before you can do certain things. Because you're under the authority of your parents, and they're training you. We need to ask permission from God and know what His will is. Not just based on work and how we feel. But notice there's also another problem that goes along with this in our society today. We can also make the mistake in thinking of how we feel is always right. And that's wrong. There are times we're happy when we shouldn't be happy. There are times we're angry when we shouldn't be angry. There are times we're sad when we shouldn't be sad. And just because that's how I feel doesn't mean you're entitled to that feeling. That doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean it's true. Somebody comes along and calls you a silly name. I'm angry. They called me a name and it's not true. And I'm going to be angry and I'm going to get you. Should you be angry somebody called you a silly name? No. Because number one, it's not true. Number two, they may have just been saying it to make you angry. You shouldn't be angry. God isn't pleased when you're angry somebody called you a silly name. You can say, oh, but they disrespected the position God has given me. That's something different, isn't it? For example, if your father gets angry with you, or your mother gets angry with you because you called them a silly name, that's different. Because you are accountable to them. You need to respect them. When you mock them and belittle them, you are belittling the God who gave them authority over you. Because you ignore the fifth commandment, you break the sixth. That's quite a different thing. And if your mom and dad are angry about that, they should be. But then they shouldn't sin in their anger, should they? Your mom and dad can't just say, shut up, and smack you in the side of the face, can they? That's not right. What should they do? You know you're not supposed to talk to me that way. God put me in authority over you. And when you speak to me that way, you are challenging God's authority. Now you come here and receive your punishment. Very calm, very controlled, maybe righteously angry, but not selfishly kind of anger. We have to be able to be aware of our feelings so we evaluate them properly. And that means we can't just assume they're valid because we have them. But how do you evaluate them prayerfully? What is it you are looking for to know your anger is right or righteous or not, whether it is focused on the Lord or whether it is idolatrous? Well, simple question. Am I angry about me or am I angry about God? Like with the example I just gave you. All too often, children picking on each other, someone calls you a name and get angry. No reason to get angry. God will deal with them. Leave room for God's vengeance against them. That's not your place to carry out judgment. God will get them. But the case of the parent, well, then it is about God, isn't it? And when you deal with that in your marriages, when you deal with that in your workplaces, when you deal with that thinking about the things that have happened that have led you to feel this way, that will be perhaps the key to see if it is righteous anger, anger with a cause, or anger without a cause. Is it about me or is it about God? And secondly, we can say, when it comes to my anger, am I being charitable? Is it about me or is it about God? And secondly, am I being loving? Am I being charitable? Put it another way. Would I want this person to respond in anger towards me in this way? Because how many times don't people do something, say something, or act some way because they were tired, because they were hungry, because they had a bad day? Remember my mother? I was angry at her. I was angry around her and everybody else. But that wasn't thoughtful towards her. What if she got angry at me because I was angry around her? The situation would have just gotten worse and worse and worse. Maybe you've noticed that in your family. Someone's angry and the other person gets angry and more angry and more angry and more angry and boom! When perhaps the right thing to do would be to say, you know what? I'm starting to feel angry because this person is treating me wrongly. But they do it in ignorance. They do it foolishly. They do it because they're tired, because they're hungry, because someone has hurt them in the past. Maybe you've heard it this way. I was the straw that broke the camel's back. They had a bad day, they came home, and you say one thing that sets them the wrong way, and rah! And rather than being angry right back, you just simply say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. And you know what ends up happening? To quote the Proverbs, soft anger turns away wrath. But you didn't fight for your rights and that they treat me this way. No, you just bow before the absurd, some would say. Be charitable. Be loving. Show mercy. That's extremely Christ-like, isn't it? When our anger boils and we sinfully rebel against him, when we murder with our thoughts, with our words, and with our hearts, what is Christ's response to us if by the grace of God he's changed our hearts and brought us to repentance and faith? Does he carry out his just judgment against us? No. He says, yeah, I paid for that sin too. And he shows us his mercy. And that's what he calls us to do and calls us to be as Christians, to show mercy. It doesn't make a difference about us. But let us never compromise those things about him. We can be charitable about people who sin against us. We can't be compromising and charitable to those who sin against God because that's his decision to make. So, practically, be aware of your feelings. Secondly, prayerfully consider why you feel the way you do. Remembering how you feel isn't necessarily right. And you can consider prayerfully why you feel the way you do, asking the question, is it about me or is it about God? And if it is about me, is this a time I should be charitable? Can be very helpful. Lastly, not only be aware of your feelings, prayerfully consider why you feel the way you do, but then prayerfully consider what actions you should take or not. What actions you should take or not. Because we should be examining our hearts. Like Psalm 139 says, we should be praying particularly for God to examine us. That's so much better. And we have to remember in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, we can be angry, but we ought not sin in it. We have to have a cause, to use the language of Matthew chapter 5. But we have to be very careful what actions we do or don't take. Can you think of anybody in the Bible who got angry and out of anger took actions they shouldn't have taken? There's many. You can think of Peter striking off the ear. You can think of Jonah. His self-righteousness doesn't want to see the Gentiles come to faith, so he takes off the other way. But perhaps one of the most practical ones is Moses. He strikes the rock. He's leading the people. God says, bring them water from the rock. Moses is concerned about himself, not about God. Do we have to give them water from the rock? Because of that act of anger, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He sinned in his anger. What if Moses, by the grace of God, had been aware of his feelings? prayerfully consider how he felt and why he felt that way, and realized it wasn't about him, but it was about God. And then he would have taken more obedient actions. Parents, how many of us may have disciplined our children in anger when we shouldn't have? We didn't use our voices right. We didn't physically discipline them properly. We did it too immediately. We did it too uncontrolled. We did it in anger and passion of the moment. Just wait. Just wait. We need to know what actions need to be taken or not. And that's true in every area of life. When it comes to dealing with anger in particular, because it's so explosive, frustration rolls over to anger and rolls over into rage like a spark on dry grass. Be aware, prayerfully consider, and then prayerfully consider what actions to take or not take. In jiu-jitsu, what you do can be as important as what you don't do, what moves you make or don't. Same thing is true with anger and with so many of our emotions. Take those three steps practically. Be aware of your feelings. Prayerfully consider why you feel the way you do, and prayerfully consider what actions to take or not take. Personally, we ought to do it that way. Otherwise, we'll make the mistake of making anger about you and me, and thus making it idolatrous, rather than making sure our anger is a righteous anger and just about God. That's how the Lord Jesus wants us to keep this commandment, that we not only not sin in our anger, but that we don't get angry without a cause. Or to put it another way, that we only get angry about the cause of God. That's really the heart of the fifth commandment. Idolatry, pride. And that's all too often where our anger comes from. Do you have a problem with anger? You're not alone. All of us that have a problem with sin and pride have a problem with anger too. There's a place for anger management. There's a place for people that especially struggle with anger. Because some people really struggle with anger as it were as their darling sin, the way some people struggle against sadness or depression or laziness or whatever sin it may be. But the root cause of it is the same. Look to the Lord. Look to his word, die to yourself, and more and more and more think of the glories of what he has done. Acknowledging the fifth commandment, his authority, confessing your breaking of it, looking to him, the Lord Jesus, for the restoration of it in you, as we saw last week, and then seeking not to be idolatrous in your anger, but to be worshipful, as it were. Seeking to honor him. And that way you will never go wrong. And no matter how much you may struggle with anger or pride or any other things, you will grow in your Christian walk more and more like him into that image. So then amazingly, even in your anger, people will not see you, but they will see him whose image you are in. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, by the power of thy Spirit, to take this commandment up before us. Lord, bind it about our minds and our hearts, that we indeed would be angry, but for thy cause, and that we indeed would be angry, but not foolish in sin, but that we would be angry and be faithful and honoring to thee. Help us, Lord, for so many of these things are misunderstood in our society and culture. Lord, and our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all. And Lord, only thou doth know them. But teach us, Lord, in light of the fifth commandment and the sixth, to faithfully follow thee. Heavenly Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.